this time for the Kaboka Chronicle. It's about our connections to Final Fantasies and MMOs in general. Hello, and welcome once again, fellow adventurers, to the Carbuncle Chronicle, your podcast for everything awesome in Final Fantasy XIV. Hi, I'm Basil, and I main a Lalafell summoner named 4K Rydiske.
Hi, I'm Anna. I main a Lalafell bard dancer tank on Leviathan named Cormier Rydiske.
I'm Douglas. I play a cat boy called Umito de la Lune, who is a black mage, white mage combo.
Hi, I'm Dylan. I main an Elizan white mage named Aldric Greywind.
And we're also members of a free company called Odin Spear on the Leviathan server. So, huzzah, adventurers, huzzah!
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 So, for this one, I guess I should point out straight up on the top, you know, Black Lives Matter, they do. Apparently, some people are like, man, 14 content creators don't ever mention the important stuff. Well, no. Black lives are completely, utterly, impossibly important. And if you don't get that, I'm sorry. Going out there, I feel it seems to be such a very obvious thing, but, you know, it is not for a lot of folks, and it should be. Anywho, so there's no real 14 news going on, which is absolutely fine. We're all sort of just enjoying hunting for our Moogle tombstones as we wait for patch 5.3 whenever that arrives.
There is a little bit of 14 news going on. Not much, just a tad. Currently, there is an event rerunning in 14 called the Maiden's Rhapsody. It is the Final Fantasy XI, Final Fantasy XIV collaboration. This event has run before, but they are rerunning it, I guess, just to fill in the gap between content. And it started on the 28th, and it will be running until June 22nd. And if you do this event, you get a really nifty red and white gold armor set. I have used this as a ninja glamour before. And it's a really cute outfit, and I definitely suggest going and completing it if you haven't while the event is running.
I have that set.
Yeah, I think I've used bits of it in other glamours before. So yeah, it's a good set in general, and especially for those who really, really played 11, it was a really nice callback for them. Because if memory serves, it also was sort of in conjunction to, like, one of the last major storylines that 11 got. So it was really meaningful for those who played 11. Which, I mean, I have played 11, but not too much of it. Which is the sort of the topic of our conversation for this issue of the Carbuncle Chronicle, where we sort of go into detail for each of us our own connections to Final Fantasy and MMOs in general. So for me, for example, I remember going back to Tony and Carl Schrader's house when I was like, you know, 8, 9, 10, whatever it was when Final Fantasy 1 first hit. And I played it at their house and was like, this is fun and cool. But I never got really into Final Fantasy until my best friend Seth at the time gave me a copy of Final Fantasy 2. Or it was actually 4, but we knew it as 2 for the Super Nintendo. And that was really, really what got me into Final Fantasy. Somehow further cemented with Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, even though that was like kids' first RPG in design. But no, 2, 4, whatever you want to call it, was really got me into it, including, you know, introducing the character of Phrydia, who made me go, okay, summoners / callers are the best idea ever. Also, all the best summoners have green hair, which my character, 4K, does.
I never put that connection together, but That makes sense.
I did when he showed... I was looking at his phone and his background is that character. And I was like, who is that? And that's when he explained to me that that was the first summoner that he encountered, I think, and she had green hair. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
May or may not also be first crush, but, you know, neither here nor there, really.
I got into Final Fantasy by accident. My mom bought me a PlayStation for Christmas one year, and I remember the first two games she got me was Chrono Cross, I believe.
Oh, I loved Chrono Cross. The bad sequel.
Which one was the bad one?
Chrono Cross.
Chrono Cross.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I loved it.
I never played Chrono Trigger, but I played Chrono Cross, and then I got that, and I also got Final Fantasy VIII. That was the current one at the time. And I started playing it, and I enjoyed it, but oh my gosh, I got lost. I got lost so bad in the open world, I realized I hated open world. And that game, like, that was my first experience to RPGs in general, and I did not know about leveling. I learned the hard way about saving. I did not know about gear. So I got to the beginning of Disc 4, where you battle
Ultimisia.
Ultimisia, that's it. Where she has Rinoa trapped in her chest, and you have to keep regen on Rinoa while you're fighting, because if Rinoa dies, you wipe. I was so under-leveled and under-geared and under-prepared. There was no way I could beat that. And there was no way to leave that area to gear up or anything. So my friend Josh was like, yeah, you're going to have to start over. So he brought his save file over for me to see the ending and Knights of the Round and everything. And that was it.
Aww. How sweet and, is it?
Yeah, it was. And so I ended up playing 8, and then I went to 7. Because I had played the demo of 7 when I got my Gateway 98. And I fell in love with Shiva and the music. But the first Final Fantasy I beat was 10. So that's kind of... It was weird. My progression has never been linear with Final Fantasy.
All right. Well, here's my story about Final Fantasy. Long ago. Long, long ago. I want to say 1980-something. Probably like 1989 or something. My older sister got terribly sick with the flu. Like, so sick with the flu that she had to be put into the hospital. And there was really nothing for her to do in the hospital other than lay there miserable and sick. And so my parent, they did have a little TV, and that was why my parents bought a Nintendo for us. It was so that she could play in the hospital. And one of the games they got was Final Fantasy. And originally, I was too young to play Final Fantasy. I was not allowed to play Final Fantasy because it only had one save spot, and if I played, I would use up my sister's save spot, and that was absolutely not allowed. But you had to buy potions in that game manually. Like, every single potion, you had to purchase it individually. And she would get bored. And so she would go, okay, well, if you can sit here and just press the A button and buy as many potions as you can play it for a little bit. So that's how I started playing Final Fantasy 1, buying potions for my older sister. A little bit later, I convinced her to let me roam around and fight. I wouldn't use any items or anything, but I could roam around in the wild and fight monsters and gain experience for her. But she had to start the game and she had to end the game. Like, so I would have to talk her into it, and I just had so much fun actually getting to fight the monsters and cast the spells. And then finally, after about a year of doing that, she finally said, you know what? You can start your own game. And so she started a game for me. She started me off with the fighter, the black belt, the black mage, and the white mage. And that was the beginning of history for me. I think she named the characters after some characters that were in, like, a Xanth book that she was reading. And forever after that, those became, like, the true names of those characters in my heart. And, oh, I loved that game so much. And that was pretty much the only game I played for years and years and years. And finally, the Super Nintendo came out. and I begged my parents for a Super Nintendo. They wouldn't get it for me. They said that if they got me a Super Nintendo, that it would just be a couple of years before another video game system came out, and then they would have to buy that video game system. And to my parents' credit, they were right. They predicted how that goes exactly. But at the time, I just desperately wanted a Super Nintendo because I saw that Final Fantasy had two, and it had, there was a Final Fantasy II, and there was a Final Fantasy III that I could see on the shelves for the at the video rental store for the Super Nintendo. And so I saved my money up like for about a year, and I eventually bought it, which that's a whole big story in my life about buying that Super Nintendo. I didn't factor in the tax. So after saving up $120 on like an early 90s child's income, I finally managed to get it, and I was like a few dollars too short, and Dad helped me out.
Aww.
And that was to buy the Zelda pack. I had to wait for like a birthday before I finally got Final Fantasy III, and I got Final Fantasy III first because that was the newest one, so they figured that's the one I wanted. And we played it, and I remember we turned it on the first time and we were watching it. Bear in mind, we live in Alabama, so when we turned on Final Fantasy III for the first time and we saw Terra in the mechs walking through snow, we sat there and we went, wow, that snow looks so realistic.
I mean, I remember starting that game several times just to watch those sprites slowly move through the snow.
Oh gosh, I mean, I loved it so much. It was so beautiful and breathtaking. But none of my friends played Final Fantasy. Like, as far as none of my other friends that even played video games, they were all into Magic the Gathering. So as far as I could tell, I was pretty much the only person who had played these Final Fantasy games, and it became a huge part of my identity up until I got to high school and I met the first person who actually played Final Fantasy games with me. And we bonded primarily over 6, and then subsequently 7. And oh, it was so good. It was such good times. And so that has been the story of me and Final Fantasy. How I got into Final Fantasy 14 specifically. So after I graduated from high school, and as I was starting off college, I got into World of Warcraft. I tried to move to Atlanta to go to an art school for a period of time. And the guy I was dating at the time didn't want me to leave the house because he was convinced that if I left the house, something terrible would happen to me. And this is like in the early 2000s when it was pretty difficult to socialize with people if you didn't leave your house. And so pretty much the only other human communication I had outside of him was to log on to World of Warcraft. And I talked with people and I made connections that way. I stayed in touch with Basil that way. And that was a good time in an otherwise dark time. But I eventually got tired of playing World of Warcraft. I did the hardcore raiding thing and I felt like I had beaten the game at a certain point, which is pretty impressive that you don't, because you don't really beat MMOs, but I felt like I had beaten it. And so I got out of the habit of it. And about a decade passed, and then I just really wanted to play an MMO again. I wanted that experience like when I first turned on World of Warcraft. And coincidentally, that was right around the time that Final Fantasy 14 had A Realm Reborn, and so then I got everybody into it.
Yes, you got everyone into it.
I did. Well, by everyone, I mean I got you into it, like...
I remember it a little bit differently.
How do you remember it?
Okay, well, first, I think I'll get into it, but first I want to let Dylan say some Final Fantasy things.
Okay.
I think my entry into Final Fantasy was really because of Nintendo Power, to a certain extent, because I remember seeing the articles about, the guides for Final Fantasy. I remember I got it. I don't remember if it was for Christmas or what, but I remember getting it and getting the the red covered guide that Nintendo Power put out for a little while that walked you through the entire game, and just playing through that, I kind of got hooked on RPGs at that point.
I absolutely remember that because I think it was Nintendo's first ever strategy guide.
Yes.
And they presented it as an extra issue of Nintendo Power.
They did. I think they did like four of them, and it was like Final Fantasy, Mario 3, the four-player adapter, and then something else.
Ninja Gaiden, I think, two.
It may have been it, yeah.
Because they also introduced like the Ninja Gaiden comics. Like,
yeah.
And each was, I totally remember that. There apparently was also that contest they had where you could win like the four crystal balls
that they had. I vaguely remember that.
Of course, I'm now thinking about, I'm also remembering back when I was, you know, a kid in the early 90s, and I would hang out with my friends Brad and Justin, and we would hang out in Justin's backyard, and we wouldn't do cops and Indians or cops and robbers and cowboys and things. No, we pretend to play Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest. And we'd each choose a class, and we'd roam around having our own random battles and make up our own stories.
We had a trampoline game that we made up based off of, that my little sister and I made up based off of the dragons in the Chaos Temple.
Nice, but Dylan, you were saying.
Okay, so from there, I went to the Super Nintendo. I had the same experiences as Doug, where it's like, Dad did not understand why I needed a Super Nintendo when I had a perfectly good regular Nintendo.
Exactly.
And I had to save up for it, which, of course, I was bad with money. I'd mow the yard, get like $10, and then, you know, we'd go up to Knoxville or something, and, ooh, there's a computer game I want, and blow it all. So that took like a year. As far as Final Fantasy games on the Super Nintendo, I don't remember. I don't think I owned any of them. The only real RPG for the Super Nintendo I owned was like Chrono Trigger and maybe Mario RPG.
Well, Square Enix had a bunch of really good RPGs on the Super Nintendo. It was really kind of a golden age.
Yeah, like I did actually rent Final Fantasy II, Final Fantasy III, and Mystic Quest at some point.
Yeah.
And I remember really being impressed by the graphics in those. I don't, you know, kind of like you guys were talking about the Final Fantasy III opening. Yeah, because you had all these colors, you had larger sprites, you could do more with them, but they were still that same pixel art style.
Mm-hmm.
I actually remember, I guess this will really date these stories, I remember renting Final Fantasy II the weekend that we had the Blizzard of 93 up in Tennessee.
And so I remember
getting up that Saturday morning and the power just repeatedly cutting out.
Oh,
and so
no.
I would lose my place, and then the power was out for like almost a week.
Oh no.
I was just like, ah.
No.
I'm surprised Anna didn't tell the story of when they first got their PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. So, I wish I remember which. I think it was Final Fantasy VIII, because I remember starting that game over many times. When I first got my PlayStation, we had not had a game system since Super Nintendo. Like, I kind of dropped out of them. I had a Game Boy, but that was about it. So, when my mom bought me a PlayStation, I had no way to save. Like, I would go to save and it wouldn't let me. So I had to call my friend Josh. I was like, Josh, why is it not letting me save? He went, well, do you have a memory card? I went, a what? So I'm pretty sure, yep. I think I had to leave my PlayStation running. I either was going to have to restart the game or leave it running until we went and bought one. And I think we bought one for our PlayStation, but when I got my PlayStation 2, I didn't know you had to have a different one. So I had to leave Kingdom Hearts running for 24 hours because I got it on Christmas to get another memory card. And my mom didn't understand why I couldn't use the one I already had.
Because it was full.
Oh, man. Because it was a different system.
It was not compatible, yeah.
Oh.
That was it.
Format.
And I was not going to restart that game. So Kingdom Hearts was left playing for 24 hours over Christmas until I could get to the store the next day to get a new one.
So I actually didn't play much of Final Fantasy after that point. Like throughout the rest of my childhood and teenage years, I was kind of between I have a good computer or I have a console, but never really both at the same time. So there were just periods I wasn't playing. Like I went back and tried to play 7 and I didn't really get into it. And the funny thing is I wasn't super into the sort of like sci-fi aesthetic. Because remember, I had been playing pixel art games where I didn't realize they were, you know, steampunk and had steampunk and sci-fi elements. I could just be like, oh, you know, these are all just, you know, Arthurian fantasy type of things.
Yeah.
I think I played a little of 7, a little of Chrono Cross, a little of 12. And that was pretty much where I was when I started 14.
Yeah, I had a similar gap. So I played 8, I played 7, I played 9, I beat 10, went back and beat 7 and 9. 8 was dead to me. 10-2 came out. And then I knew 11 was a computer one. Well, I didn't have internet or anything at that point. Like, I don't know. I don't think I had anything that could run it. So I said, well, I'm not playing 11. 12 and 13 were not on my radar. And then I met Basil, and he said, hey, we're playing 14. It's an MMO. And I went, I'll try it.
Yeah, I remember you were very... When you first started playing 14, we had to get you a mouse to use with your laptop because you didn't realize you needed to use a mouse to play an MMO.
I learned how to play 14 with a trackpad and keyboard from a laptop. Ooh.
Ooh. And she kept wondering why she couldn't beat Titan Extreme and why.
That was... No, I had a mouse by that point, but that was because my laptop was shit.
But the result was that by the time you actually got a laptop that was capable of actually running 14, you were so much better at Titan Extreme than everybody else because you had been trying to do it on this this machine that was just so far behind on what, like, it technically met the specifications to run the game.
It would not run it unless I had a fan going behind it. I realized once I got a better laptop for 14, I had become so adept at knowing what mechanics were coming and knowing when they were coming. Like, I was so good at knowing that I could, what I was doing on my old machine as I was moving early. And by the time I moved, because of the lag and everything with my laptop, I was correct.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into my new laptop, I was just killing everything. I was just so on top of it. And it's kind of kept going till now. Like, I can learn fights so well that my brain just thinks you have to learn them this well or you're going to die.
So, yeah, my journey through Final Fantasy was, I started on 1, sort of. I felt like I had played 1 pretty well because I had read and reread the strategy guide Nintendo Power put out for it so many times. I knew everything, so I didn't feel like I had to play it so much. Whereas I remember playing 4 and that opening scene where you're watching the airships go by and then you're playing as Cecil and he's this bad guy almost, and he sent out this mention with this Dragoon guy named Kay, and he's super cool because he's a Dragoon, so he can jump and stuff. And they go through the cave and you fight through the mist dragon, and then you get to Ridia's village, and then things happen. And I remember having to pause the game for a little bit after things happened. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't expect what happens in that game to happen. I'm pretty sure I was like 11 or 12 at the time. And 4 just really did a number on me. And I played 6 or 3 at the time so much. And I played 7. And I played 7 so many times, but I actually think we end up covering this on the 7 podcast. I started getting a little annoyed at it. And I eventually fell more onto the Final Fantasy Tactics game, which I played over and over and over again. And I also, in fact, never beat 8 because I didn't understand the systems well enough to really make that system sing, because that battle system's really weird. And eventually I just got so annoyed. I'm like, I'm done. I this is dumb. I don't like this. This was too weird for me. And, you know, our buddy Kevin was like, well, I really liked it. So I recorded the ending of 8 on a VHS tape. I can loan you that.
Oh man, I remember recording video games on VHS tapes, game endings.
So that's how I watched the ending for that. And then I remember playing 9. And both 9 and 10, I got near the ending of the game, but I think 9, I was missing a few key things to make myself preventable to some stats effects. And the final boss has like a thing that would inflict every stats effect on you. And so I kept dying to it. And I think eventually it was revealed that I had never finished it during Anime Club. And one people there was like, oh, well, come to my house. I'll just beat it for you with my file so you can see the ending finally.
That sounds like something I would do.
It was not you, although that I think you were too busy doing like senior year in high school stuff at the time.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And then the same thing happened with 10, because 10, I didn't own a PS2 at the time. So I was borrowing our friend Neil's PS2 while he borrowed my GameCube. And eventually I was going through 10, and he was like, ah, I really want my PS2 back. We're like, well, I'm still trying to beat 10. So he came by like the next day and was like, all right, we're beating 10. So I get my PS2 back. And after that, I had not beaten a Final Fantasy. Well, I guess, yeah, that would bring you up to Final Fantasy 11. That's its own story. So I guess I'll start with the whole, our experience of MMOs. Like, I know that for this, in case Final Fantasy 14 is Anna's first MMO.
Yep, mm-hmm. First and only. I logged into the free trial for WoW twice, and I hated it. I was so confused. There was all these buttons. It wasn't telling me what to do. I was like, nope. This is nope, nope, nope. So when Basil said, hey, we're going to play this new Final Fantasy MMO, I was like, he said, how about this? I'll buy it for you. You'll get your first month. If you don't like it, you don't have to continue. I said, okay, I can do that. Yeah, now I raid.
So I think my first remote MMO experience was Ragnarok Online. Like the very first one, killing all those little creatures. I didn't get too far into it before I had heard about Final Fantasy XI. And I was like, ooh, Final Fantasy XI, that sounds neat. And I think they had only gotten like one or two expansions in. And my brother was going to buy it and we were going to play it. Except because he really wanted the PlayStation 2 hard drive. He wanted a system with a hard drive for some reason. And he didn't realize that the only two games that made use of the hard drive was Final Fantasy XI and a couple of Resident Evil offshoots, really. And he was like, wait, what? Nah, that's dumb. So he gave me his PS2 and he bought an Xbox because the Xbox had a hard drive to use for games. And I decided, well, no. If I'm going to play Final Fantasy XI, I'm going to play Final Fantasy XI. And so I was recently purchased a new PC from Gateway. It was powerful enough to run Final Fantasy XI. So I got into FF11. And I joined a server that a friend of mine online was playing on. But as it turns out, she was playing on a predominantly Japanese server.
I thought with Final Fantasy XI, you couldn't pick what server you were playing on.
No, you could.
Okay.
Or at least it may not be as many servers as like 14 has now. It might have been like 5 or 6 servers. But there was some servers. And apparently she had picked this one to practice her Japanese with. But she was way, 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 way past me. And so I essentially was playing Final Fantasy XI by myself. And this was a game that was not designed to be played by yourself, especially this early on, because all the bonuses and stuff that you got for leveling was based off how many people you were playing with at the time. And if I could get into an area where I could level with other people around me, killing mobs together, it was great, because we were getting bonuses off of each other, and we would suddenly, I level up, became way, 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 way easier and more fun, and we were all talking, and it was a cool time. And then everyone would disperse, and suddenly I was all alone again. And I tried joining some link shells, which was the equivalent of like free companies or guilds for 11. And nothing really, really happened with that. And so I eventually was like, ugh. And I thought to myself, well, I really enjoy playing this summoner character. They get these things called carbuncles, and they're really cute. I really enjoy this. So I mentally put that aside. And then I remember trying EVE Online, because it was a space game, and I like space ideas. And that was fine at first, except the trick with EVE is that you had to actually, in 11, if you died, you just lost a portion of your experience, and it sent you back to a crystal. In EVE, you get uploaded to a clone of yourself, but depending on how much money you spent into your clone, determine how many abilities and skills you retain. And I got into, and every sector had a level of lawfulness or lawlessness. And the higher law, the more hard it was for people to play or kill you, because everything was PvP as far as that goes. And it depended on what areas you were in and how much you would get punished. And I remember there was one time I was playing, someone really decided they were going to grief me, and I got potted several times. And so after playing this game for like 2 or 3 months, I was essentially shot down to being level one again.
That just feels so unimaginable now. I guess just because of how gameplay has and game design has evolved, but just punishing you in an MMO for dying just seems so backwards now.
Well, even
don't
even
ever do Eureka.
As I say, even PvP though, because Final Fantasy 14 only has it in really controlled ways.
Yeah.
But I remember playing WoW, like one of the guys I played with would set up ganks and stuff like that. And that was like the thing he did for fun.
Oh, I hate PvP. Like I barely even acknowledge it in Final Fantasy XIV. It's one of the things I liked about Final Fantasy XIV is that it didn't have much in the way of PvP, just because I hate the entire concept of PvP.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to get into it, but I enjoy the more frontline aspects as opposed to the feast aspects. Like, you have 56 to 72 people, and you have a common goal, usually. There's more like capture the flag-esque type the goals than just go kill everybody.
Yeah, the capture the flag type situations, I am much more willing to participate in and tolerate, but the straight up just killing other players, I'm just not okay with.
But I think either way, like being able to go into a specific instance for PvP that's mm-hmm. controlled is different. It's a different experience than like Basil was talking about EVE Online or like WoW. Once you left the kind of the early level starting areas, mm-hmm. it was fair game and horde players could just, you know, come up and kill you and well, you would have to run back to your body.
I did play on an RP server rather than in World of Warcraft rather than on a PvP server. And I don't really remember having too much of a hard time with having horde players kill me at any point, even in contested zones. It was more of an issue if I entered a horde-controlled zone, but if even in contested zones, I could pretty much just quest and not worry about it.
Well, because if memory serves, because I think my next thing was after Eve, I was like, ugh, I just want a good MMO where I don't have to deal with this crap. And our friend James is like, Basil, play World of Warcraft. I'm on this server. It's an RP server, and it's a PvE server, which means that you had to allow yourself to be flagged to be able to be hurt.
Yes.
And that's why we didn't have that problem.
And you had to be on a PvP server.
Because on a PvP server, like, everything was fair game. Like, there were people, especially back in the day, where horde groups would group up and they would, like, take cities and kill all the NPCs. And it was, and they would just destroy an area before the server finally realized, oh crap, let's hard boot them out. And man, that was, but that wasn't us playing World of Warcraft, at least for Umi and I, because I joined and then I convinced some mutual friends, including Umi, to join too. And we played that for a while. Yeah. Until, like, between people finally getting bored with it and guild drama. And
I remember you couldn't navigate a dungeon in World of Warcraft. Like, you constantly, we would go into places and you would have to follow me because you would just get so lost in them.
Oh, yeah. My sense of, like, direction in this, and Fourteen, I'm actually pretty decent at, and WoW was really, yeah, really bad.
It's specifically only in World of Warcraft that I ever saw you be that direction deaf, where we would say, just go straight ahead, and you'd be like, okay, and you'd make a left turn for some reason.
Oh yeah, no, I was very much the Ryoga or Zoro from One Piece in World of Warcraft. It was kind of weird. And it was also specifically, like, mostly stuff in, like, oh god, not Eorzea, Azeroth. I didn't have that much problems once we went to that first expansion and we went to that other, like, world.
Yeah.
It was specifically Azeroth. For some reason, I
don't
know.
I remember it specifically was in the dungeons, too. It was specifically in the dungeons you couldn't navigate them for some reason. I don't remember, like, I remember you had a little bit of problem in the main world, but it wasn't anywhere near as bad as the problems you would have in a dungeon.
I do remember him telling me that he was like, yeah, I would have to be somewhere. Doug would have to come get me and literally guide me to where the dungeon was because I could never get there on my own.
I was his seeing eye priest.
And then they used me to create the portal for everybody else to get there. Because this is before the idea of queuing into a dungeon. You actually had to go to the dungeon to actually get into the dungeon.
To be perfectly honest, that is actually something I liked about World of Warcraft. And I kind of miss out of 14. Like, I get the convenience of it. But I liked the immersion of actually having to go to the dungeon.
Well, to be fair, you know, with 14, the first time you do the dungeon, it does take you directly to the dungeon. Like, you pretty much have to do that the first time you go into it. Like, but once you unlock it, then you can go anywhere and use Duty Finder. But they kind of kept that a little bit with where you have to go to there specifically to unlock it, at least.
Yeah, but it's not like, okay, I think I'm going to go farm this dungeon today. I have to journey across all of these zones and go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like putting in Duty Finder and then going to craft or gather and wait.
In 14, I probably couldn't name where some of these dungeons actually were located. Which, I mean, that's always a trade-off, right? Like, World of Warcraft had Griffin mounts so that you would still see that distance that you're traveling, but it still took forever. It was more frustrating in the long run than various types of fast travel like Aetherite.
Yeah. I agree with you completely.
And also in, like, 14, occasionally do stuff, like, for example, in Eureka, for the Baldessian Arsenal, in order to get into the arsenal, you all have to be in that one continent of Eureka. And then you had to do, you know, specific things as, you know, a big old group to be able to get your portals to get in there. And once you're in there, you have different groups doing other things. Like, Baldessian Arsenal, honestly, in a lot of ways, is the most World of Warcraft-like raid dungeon 14 has.
Well, I also feel it's probably important to specify that we're talking the first couple of expansions of World of Warcraft. Modern World of Warcraft isn't like this at all. So these things that I'm getting all nostalgic for is really only specific to World of Warcraft Classic. It's not even true of modern World of Warcraft. Because game designers and the people who play MMOs have discovered that this stuff isn't always fun. It's not always the best idea. Basically back to that trade-off that Dylan was just talking about. That in general, having fast pass and being able to queue into a dungeon is overall worth it more so than having to have these extended excursions. So while I had fun with these extended excursions, that's probably in the long term why I quit playing World of Warcraft, but I'm still playing Final Fantasy XIV.
Yeah, and after a while, I tried things here and there because after a few years, like the urge to immerse and the urge to, like, I needed my cocaine habit back. I needed that hit.
Well, you remember we played Fable. We played one of the Fable games. I can't remember if it was Fable 2 or Fable 3.
We did both Fable 2 and Fable 3.
Yeah, and that was actually when I got my hankering for an MMO again, that was actually the specific experience that I was trying to recreate, is that I just wanted to play a game with you where we were both kind of the hero and we were wandering around and there was just adventure to be had.
And we also did that with the Dragon Quest IX.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, because we were constantly looking for that hit. And I remember also my next big one really before 14 was I really tried to get into the Star Wars The Old Republic. And I was like, and gameplay wise, it was fun enough and the Bioware story is pretty decent. I only discovered I'd not quite understood just how ambivalent and uncaring you were with Star Wars as a concept.
Yeah, I just, you were never going to get me into that game.
And I'd gotten Barry into it, actually, and we were having fun, but then I remember Mass Effect 3 came out, we both paused on playing Star Wars to play Mass Effect 3,
He
never came. Well, no one did. I went back to Star Wars afterwards, and literally every single person I was playing with, including some of our old friends from World of Warcraft, had all quit. Huh? Like, as that Mass Effect 3 came out, they all stopped, played Mass Effect 3, and after that was over, our World of Warcraft friends went back to playing World of Warcraft, and Barry just stopped, and suddenly I was literally by myself. And I was like, no, I've done this before. Not again. And so I tried the beta for Final Fantasy XIV original. And that was like, no, that was bad. It was not good. And then I remember getting a chance to play the beta for Marble Born because it was getting introduced on PS4. Yeah. And I played that on PS4 and went, okay, this is an entirely different game. I don't know what they did. Spoilers, they just made a whole different game. And I went, okay, y'all, here it is. Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn. This is it. We are giving our lives to this game again. This is the one. And
Now, you see, the way I remember it was... The way I remember it is Barry was gone to Australia for work. I was home alone. It was my 30th birthday. I was absolutely miserable and I needed to immerse like so bad. And I had asked you vaguely, okay, so which MMO are we going to try again? Which one are we going to get our hit on? And you had said this, and then I just went ahead and did it like that. Like I couldn't tolerate it anymore. I just went ahead and downloaded it. And we had it.
I remember
it, and then you guys picked me up for my 30th birthday to take me to Nashville, and I just would not shut up about it.
I think it may have been that same trip. I remember that. I don't know if we had started yet, But I remember us having the conversation in the car of what to call the free company.
No. Yeah, because I wanted to call it Leviathan's Claw, you know, from Tales of Vesperia, but we were playing on...
Leviathan,
we were playing on Leviathan, and I had also... I had run a pretty successful Airborne Brigade group, whatever they called their guilds, and that named Leviathan's Claw. And so I had all this expectation that Leviathan's Claw was a great name, and we were going to do great things with it. But Basil talked me into Odin's Spear.
Because I think my thing was that Leviathan's Claw was already name of a thing, guild in Tales of Vesperia.
Yeah.
And I think we decided that I didn't want to just call ourselves off of something else. I wanted something that was particularly ours. And so we decided to name ourselves using the same naming conventions as we thought all the good guilds were in Tales of Vesperia. And so that's why we decided on Odin's Spear, because it was something something.
Yeah. It was Deity Weapon. Deity Weapon. Those are the good names for guilds. Deity Weapon.
And so that's what we decided on. We were going to have a whole Viking sort of theme to our naming and whatnot. Yeah, that was all that car trip. I think we had both played for like a week.
Yeah, because when we started, it was during the Easter event. And none of us were high enough level to do the event.
No, I was trying so desperately hard to get to level 15 so I could do the event. It's all I wanted.
It was so... Because I remember I was like, why are all these eggs around here? And I was like, oh, there's an event going on. I can't do it.
What is with this game and eggs?
And what's this song called Papaya?
Gosh, it took... You know, it took me a while to really get into 14. Because... not that I didn't want to. Like, I tried it. I really was enjoying it. I felt like it... definitely was more of a new player friendly game, whereas I didn't get that feeling from when I tried WoW. And I remember we played it, you know, we started in April. That June, I had a really bad experience with my back, and I couldn't even like sit up for a while. And so I would try to play it in bed, but it was just too painful. So I played a little bit, and it wasn't until they announced the patch for that October that was going to be introducing Shiva, and I went, well, screw it. And I got myself to 50, caught up to everybody so I could go do Shiva.
Because I remember that because you were like, I'm so far behind, and I had to pause and go, Anna, you're past us.
And I went, wait, what? Because I was always behind you guys. I was always so behind. But yeah.
That is not a fun place to be in an MMO.
No.
Just slightly lagging behind.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was only five of us to begin with. It was just me, Basil, Doug, and Barry, and Kevin. And that was it. So, you know, we were trying to play together, and we were trying to do things together. But, you know, having five of us, you could only take four into a dungeon. So, you know, we were trying to work around that, too. And we eventually got some more people, and now we're pretty big. But it was a good time.
So Dylan, what is your MMO experience?
So technically my first MMO was like a demo or a free weekend that Asheron's Call did. So that really dates me, but
oh yeah, that's the good early days. That's
yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
That was I think it was like a studio owned by Microsoft or something. This would have been like 99 maybe or 2000.
Wow.
Maybe later than that. I don't remember. I vaguely remember that. That was the weekend. Like I'd failed my first driver's test, and that was like how I dealt with it. for the most part though, we didn't like, I was fascinated by the idea of MMOs. EverQuest and stuff like that was out, but mm-hmm. we didn't have internet until I was a senior in high school, and even at that point I had no way of paying for subscription. So WoW was actually my first MMO. I got into, I think, like the beta with some guys I worked with, including Mike from These Are Video Games. And, you know, they had a guild that from when they played Dark Age of Camelot. So they kind of helped me into it. Mm-hmm. I remember I played a priest. I was always behind because, you know, I don't think I played as much. And plus leveling as a healer was tougher. I remember I got to the point where I was raiding Molten Core, doing the 40-man dungeon.
Yeah.
And I remember that being really rough on me because it was this, you know, you didn't have all the in-game content like you do in 14. So it was this constant treadmill of, I'm going to go in the dungeon so I can get better loot drops, so I can get better armor, so now I can go into the higher level dungeon and, you know, and that just burned me out. Like I was burned out before. I think I got the first expansion, but I never really played it.
Yeah, you see, it was during that expansion that I did that treadmill, and that treadmill does burn you out. It burns you out on basically every MMO, but at the same time, that's sort of the goal to get of every MMO is to get you onto that treadmill.
And not just MMOs. Like, I remember when I first started playing Overwatch, they have the loot box meter, essentially, as you level up. And it's real easy to get stuck filling bars. And playing WoW really turned me off of that early on. And so I just pretty much swore off MMOs. Like, I'm not going to touch that. Never again. But I remember, like, at some point, I started considering it. I think the two things that made me reconsider MMOs were seeing the Elder Scrolls Online come out, because I was like, ah, man, I really like Skyrim. I really like Oblivion. That's tempting. And then hearing you guys talk about 14 and going to some of the panels and, you know, oh, it's a really good solo Final Fantasy.
It is. It's probably the best solo Final Fantasy since 10, I would guess.
And it has a lot of callbacks to older Final Fantasies. So, you know, playing it and hearing, like, the Chocobo theme takes me back to Final Fantasy II, and hearing the, like, the Matoya's Cave theme takes me back to Final Fantasy I, and I finally bit the bullet, and I've not really been regular about it. I've been off and on, because I don't want to get in that deep, but
you've been decently, you know, you've been on pretty decently, and you run stuff with us all the time, and we enjoy doing that with you.
Yeah, I've just, like, I know it's going to stress me out if I tried to do, like, the high level rating, because I'm not the type of person who goes through and watches videos of games. It's like, no, I just want to play the game, you know. Like, I was this way when I was playing Magic the Gathering. Like, I don't want to build a deck, I just want to sit down and play.
I'm with you. You're singing the song of my people. I I understand exactly what you're talking about. That, and I feel the same way. It's one of the things that I like about 14 is that while it does have the treadmill, and the goal of the game is to get you on the treadmill, I haven't played it in quite a while, and I haven't noticed any side effects from not playing it. Like, I could log in right now and know that I would be able to play pretty much everything with everybody again.
Yeah. And that is one of the nice things. Like, what really burnt me out on WoW was there was one treadmill. And sure, it was fun to do that 40-man instance, but after a couple times, it feels like a job. And especially as the healer, like, it's a second job.
I was real proud of my second job for a while. It's why I don't want to take on another. I don't want to take it on again.
The nice thing with 14 is you've got a lot of different options. A lot of those are solo. Nothing as in-depth as Molten Core. Like, 24-man is the biggest instance you've got, and even that is not hardcore, usually.
It's kind of interesting how the super big thing is specifically for the casual players, and it's the 8-man that's that's for the hardcore players.
So I think they looked at the design of things and were like, look, we want this game to be played by lots and lots and lots of people, but some people are going to want that really, really hardcore stuff. So let's design this game such that you don't, if you want to be part of that small group that wants to do the ultra hardcore stuff, cool, it's there for you, but we want everybody else to be able to play and have fun too. And that's our real, you know, and that balance is honestly what makes 14 really work as an MMO.
Yeah. Especially like having that delineation between like hard and extreme is really nice, because I remember the first time I got an extreme quest and tried to queue up for it and just kept failing over and over, going, okay, this may not be for me. And, you know, I don't want to try to get into it because I don't want to be that guy if I'm not prepared for it. But there's still a ton of stuff I can do without doing the hardcore stuff.
And that's the fun thing about the farm nights that we do, is you can now do the harder stuff because you're more over leveled for it. Like, you know, we unstake for dogs and birds, and the, you know, we're 10, 20 levels over level it. So it makes it more fun, even though it's supposed to be technically the extreme version.
Yeah. And you can go back and like, we can go back and experience that content still without, you know, all of us having to be that hardcore about it.
So yeah, Final Fantasy 14, we really enjoy that MMO. And that was sort of all our experiences with Final Fantasy in general, MMOs in general. Were there any more Final Fantasy or MMO stories we want to tell before we wrap up?
I hate the car.
The car?
The car.
The four-person mount?
Final Fantasy car. I hate Final Fantasy car.
Oh.
Just in general, in any Final Fantasy game, the car is bad?
Yes.
Car bad in all game.
Per bad, especially the one where that was the game. Like, I hate Final Fantasy car.
But, yes, well, I mean, you can have Final Fantasy car, as you like to put it, or the regalia from Final Fantasy 15, if we were going to be specific. But there are other multi-person mounts. I've got the goofy little tugboaty thing from the first big raid in Shadowbringers.
No, this isn't about mounts. This is about the car. I hate it.
Yes. I get it. I'm just saying that we now have options for other multi-people mounts that isn't the car. So 14 gives like you many options. So, anyways, this has been the Carbuckle Chronicle, your podcast for everything awesome in Final Fantasy 14. I have been your general host, Basil. Thank you once again, Anna, Doug, and Dylan. And please check us out, you know, online, awesomecast.com, you know, AwesomeCast has Twitter at AwesomeCast. I have Twitter at It's Basil Time. Anna has Twitter at Angel Darkfire, but the dark has no A. That's how dark it is. Dylan, is it just Dylan Wolf?
Yes.
And then Umi is not on that, but you can find Redbubble, the user Imitsu, and you can get all sorts of awesome, cool swag of various types, including a super rad Black Mage shirt. And my face you can use as a mask. It's very important to have a mask on in public in these times. And why not put my face on your face?
I mean, putting anyone's face on your face is a little weird. There's a good answer to that question.
But you don't know what it is.
So, on that note, wonderful note, buy my face for your face, and we're out.